It's a hot take Tuesday.
Oh, man. Look at you, Zach.
You should have heard Phil in the break.
Hey, who's going to hate?
You should have heard Phil in the break giving his breakdown why Drake is going to upset. Who is it? Meek Mill? Was it?
It was Washington State.
Oh, Washington State. Drake's going to upset Washington State.
Hey, now I watch Washington State play my bus.
Okay, that's right. That's right.
They didn't look too good.
Yeah.
Now, Drake, they're scoring at a higher level, higher rate.
Oh, my God. Hey,
Phil,
so
I'm going to come to your defense real quick.
Okay.
In my official bracket, I'm talking about the one that I'm taking serious. I have Drake upsetting Washington State.
See, thank you. All right. Thank you, KJ.
Hey, it could happen.
Yeah, but KJ probably has a legit reason. Phil's just like, I don't know, I like the colors, you know?
Like Blake always says, haters are going to hate.
It is that time of the year again where everyone's going to fill out a bracket. Don't be left out, all right? You have a chance to legitimately win $5,000 if you have that winning bracket. And this is a type of, you know, this is a type of event where, like, I feel like when we do pick 'em in the fall, it's like, you know, and that could be random too. But this right here, anyone could win this. Anyone could. Your wife could win this. The secretary could win this. Even someone like Phil could win this. So you can head to denversports.com/hoops to sign up for the Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. Entry closes before tip off on for the games on March 21st, which is Thursday.
I know you got Wisconsin winning.
Wisconsin's good year this year.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, good year this year.
But I may get upset.
I will tell you this, man, and it makes me sad to say, because, you know, you were poking fun at me earlier in the show just how much of a, like, basketball honk I am. And I just love basketball. I think it's the greatest game in the world. And I think 50 years from now, it's going to be the most popular game in the entire world. But I watched less college basketball this year than any year in my adult life. And I think, even amongst basketball people, I'm probably a decent reflection of the public, because, I mean, men's basketball is just flat out getting beat in the ratings by women's basketball.
Yeah.
Just flat out beat. Household names, they're not household names. They're like, who are the household names? And we've been talking about this for a while, so it's not a, you know, new topic. But because a month ago, I was like, there's no one in the men's game that's even close to Caitlin Clark, not even on her block. And you could maybe say the same thing for Angel Reese from LSU. And I mean, the game has just exploded. And I knew that I should start paying attention to this when it was a Sunday and South Carolina played LSU, I believe, for the first time. And it was, they had a national TV NBA game on ABC. Yeah. And it was the Miami Heat against the San Antonio Spurs. Spurs just drafted Victor Wembanyama, this generational talent, you know, 7'6", handles it, shoots it, and he's on national TV. And this is, again, you know, a little bit ago, so, you know, earlier in the season. And then you have the Miami Heat, who were just in the NBA Finals a year ago. And the South Carolina LSU women's basketball game outdrew the NBA game on network television. And I said, whoa. And then you start seeing, hey, the tickets are more expensive to go to the women's games. Do you see that tweet that TickPick said they are selling 6 times the amount of tickets for the women's Final Four as opposed to the men's Final Four?
Why do you think this is? Why do you think that you're seeing a dramatic shift in the game?
I can't sit here and say one thing with confidence. I just think it's the buildup of, like, the previous two generations of women's basketball.
Yep.
Larger than life personalities.
I like that. It does kind of, this is ultimately what we're doing here when we're watching football, the hockey. It's entertainment. And the women put on great entertainment. They're all into it all the time. They're giving us everything that we want. And for example, the LSU game, was it LSU versus
South Carolina? Women?
Yeah, did you see that? That was like a brawl.
You're talking about the fight? Yeah, yeah.
You know, like that, people want to see that intensity at times.
Yeah.
And they bring the power. They pack it.
And even the coaches, some of the coaches have large, like Gina Auriemma.
Yeah.
You know, Kim Mulkey and her outfits and the success. And I don't know, man. Here's, you know, because once in a while people are saying, hey, you know, I don't care about this stuff. Don't shove this down my throat. They are responding to what is happening first, and that's the viewership that is spiking. And last year, the national championship was like the highest viewed ever. For on the women's side, the WNBA, their championship was the highest in 20 years. So I don't want to just make stuff up. I don't know the real reason, but I do know when I see the numbers and I follow these outlets and social media handles that track stuff like the viewership and ratings and stuff and ticket prices.
Yeah.
It's just unequivocal. Women's sports, especially in basketball, it's just exploding. So, all right. It's a Hot Take Tuesday presented by Papa Murphy's. Order your pizza for pickup today. Hit us up with your hot takes on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. My hot take. All right, to have a hot take, you kind of have to believe like half of it.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, 40 to 60% of it. You got to believe some of it. It's got to live in reality, but it still has to be a hot take. And my hot take is your Colorado Buffaloes are going to win tomorrow night and then upset Florida this coming week.
Ooh.
And they will win two games in the NCAA tournament because who they are right now is different than who they were a month ago. And I'll bet on the current temperature of the team here.
I like it. Now, I think that they're going to win more than that because I'm biased, you know. But also, I think CSU is going to do the same thing. I think CSU, my hot take is going to be on the opposite side.
Oh.
CSU is going to win tonight. They're going to beat Texas.
Whoa.
Number 7 Texas.
Whoa.
They're going to upset them.
Whoa.
You got to think, you're talking about a team that at one point, Zach, they were ranked number 13. We're talking about the CSU Rams that were ranked number 13. People had them a shoe like, oh, they're going to go in for sure. The bracket, where were they at seating-wise at that time?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, they would, if they were even doing the bracketology stuff, then they would have been like a top 4 seed.
For sure. So I think that we tend to forget that because of what has went on throughout the time. But that's still CSU, and CSU is still a tough team. And if they can get this win versus a very tough Virginia team, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
I can't wait. We'll see how it all plays out. Hit us up with your hot takes on the RamosLaw.com text line. You know, we were having a discussion off the air yesterday that turned into on-air content. And we want our listeners to get involved with this. I put it out on Twitter. I have some responses. And I want to start this restart this conversation with you. What is the current hierarchy among the professional coaches in Denver sports? I want to have that conversation more expansively coming up next. All right, we started to have a conversation off the air yesterday. And it started because Bud Black is in talks of getting extended with the Colorado Rockies. And Buddy's been here for a while. It's been like 8 years, I want to say, for Bud.
Yeah, Buddy.
And you know, we have three legitimately longstanding coaches in their own professional leagues, and Michael Malone and Jared Bednar, Bud Black. Then we have a newer comer, Sean Payton. And we're like, who's the number one coach in Colorado sports right now? And as you might imagine, and your brain's going here, we have two options at number one. And there's really only the two options at number one. It's Jared Bednar and Michael Malone. And I think reasonable minds can disagree just depending on what you value, what angle you're coming from.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, who do you think is, and by the way, I put this question out on Twitter. If you want to respond, we're going to read some responses here in a minute. If you want to hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, we're going to read some responses in a minute. Who do you think is the number one coach right now in Denver sports?
Oh, man. This is tough for me. It may not be for you, but it's tough because there's two teams, right? And there can only be one coach. And to me, it would have to be Bednar. I think what he has done with the Colorado Avalanche, all right, and let's make no mistakes about it. They were bad. They were bad when he inherited them.
The worst.
And they stayed patient with him. And I know he went through some bumps and bruises, and there was a time where we were like sitting here saying, Bednar, are you going to be able to ever get past that second round? Because it seems like you always get there and get knocked out. He finally does. He wins a cup. So in my eyes, it has to be Bednar.
I don't hate the reason. Because there's a difference between being bad and being the very worst.
Mm.
And the Colorado Avalanche were the very worst. I mean, you go back to Jared Bednar's first year. I mean, they were a 48-point team. They won 22 total games in an 82-game season. Yeah, I mean, it was so painful. And I just can't believe that, was it maybe 5 years later? 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, 5 years later, they're hoisting the Stanley Cup. It's like still pinch me stuff even a couple of years later. I think it's Michael Malone.
Because
they both won championships.
Correct.
But if you take away each of their championship runs, we have another separate example of the Nuggets doing some really cool stuff in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's going to the Western Conference Finals. That had maxed out the furthest that they had been in the history of the organization. And then they come back and win the championship a couple of years later when they're finally healthy again. So the last two times that this team was fully healthy, they won a championship and they were in the Western Conference Finals. And with the Avs, unfortunately, and we're splitting hairs here because this is what this conversation is about, you know, they got bounced in the second round 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
And then when they were favored to win. Last year, they get bounced in the first round when I know what happened with Val, but McKinnon was there, Miko was there, McCarr was there, and there's context to all this stuff, but because of some of those, like, shortcomings, and I'll put this at the cherry on top, I don't think you can point to a year in the Michael Malone era where the Nuggets finished way below expectation. They've always been a tick ahead of where they're supposed to be when they've been healthy. And for all those reasons, I'll go with Malone at the very top.
So with Malone being your guy, right? When Malone inherited the Denver Nuggets, where were they at? Were they the worst team in the NBA?
They were not. They were not. But they weren't very good. The last year before Michael Malone got here, the Nuggets were 30-52. So they were bad. They were one of the, you know, poor teams in the NBA, but they were never truly the worst.
Like that Colorado Avs were
like
at one point.
Yeah.
So to me, that's what takes the cake, right? That's what puts the cherry on the top of my, you know, my argument for Bednar is Bednar took a team that was horrible. And not only did he take a team that was horrible, he took a team that was horrible and they just threw him into the fire. It's not like, you know, he had some time to process it. He had to come right in right away and start to do things with the Colorado Avalanche.
Right.
Now, they gave him some opportunities and time to develop his team.
They did.
And, you know.
They did.
But also, that's what the Denver Nuggets are doing with Malone and have done with Malone, and it's been faster now. But that's something that both teams have in common that the Denver Broncos can't get down is to stay consistent with a coach for long enough to see it through. But that's what you have in Bednar, and that's what you have with Malone.
Yeah, and that is a fair point that really is a feather in the cap of both franchises. They could have moved on.
Yeah.
And most of the outside world wouldn't have blinked an eye. They really wouldn't have, especially in the NHL, where they have a tendency to move on from coaches like quickly. They showed patience. And when they lost in the second round for a third year in a row, they could have fired Jared Bednar, and they didn't. And the next year they come back and win the cup. So credit to both organizations for showing the patience and just seeing the process through.
Yeah.
I put this out on Twitter. I'm going to read some responses here in just a few moments. You can hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line at 303-713-1043. We'll read some of these. But the most common order of the top two, barely.
Okay.
Is Malone over Bednar.
All right.
But it is, I'm not going to say it's shocking because it's not shocking that as many people have Bednar over Malone. They do. Right now it looks like maybe 60-40.
Okay.
Malone.
Okay.
How do you guys see it behind the glass? I'm curious. Drew, we could start with you. Who do you have as number one? Just number one and two.
Number one and two, I think you could make a strong argument for either one. You look at their wins in Denver, Mike Malone, 367, Jared Bednar, 291. Playoff appearances, Michael Malone, 5, Jared Bednar, 6. Michael Malone, though, has been to 2 Western Conference Finals, won a championship. Jared Bednar has only been to 1 Western Conference Final and won a championship. So for me, I mean, and we're talking barely here, I think I have to put Michael Malone over Jared Bednar, but it's as close as you could possibly get for me.
Yeah. Kamaje, how do you see it?
You know, we have a lot of first generation here in this country. And we talk about like the first generation of people who are able to go to college and get degrees and things of that nature. I think that's how I view Coach Malone. He was tasked with coming in here and getting the first ever championship in the history of the Denver Nuggets. No one else will be able to take that from him.
Right.
And no one else will be required to be able to do that for the Denver Nuggets. Saying all of that to say, I'm not discrediting what Coach Bednar went through to get here, but Coach Malone did something that literally no one else in the history of the franchise could do. That alone has to put you in the number one spot.
You know what? I like that. And to piggyback off of it, the one thing that Malone had against him that Bednar didn't is that the NBA itself is kind of set up, has set up historically against a market like Denver.
Mm.
And he doesn't get all the credit for that because he didn't draft Nikola Jokic. He didn't draft Jamal Murray. But if we're breaking ties, I think that's a big-time chip that he has because the Avalanche are like a blue-blood franchise in the NHL. Nuggets are not.
Well, tell me this, and maybe Drew can help me with this one, is has anybody with the Colorado Avalanche as a coach had to deal with bringing a team up that had only won 22 games and brought them up to where they are today, no matter what, like throughout the history of the Colorado Avalanche coaches? Has there been?
Not really, no.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, Michael Malone inherited a bad team, but not to the extent of like the worst in the league.
Yeah.
You know who's actually a part of that conversation?
Who's that?
I'll tell you next. Yeah, you can tell everybody. All right, so fun conversation. We started yesterday off the air. We figured, hey, man, might as well talk about this. And we're ranking the coaches in pro sports here in Colorado. Between Sean Payton, Michael Malone, Bud Black, Jared Bednar, and it really the toughest part of it. Well, there's two tough parts. It's who's going to be number one over number two, and then it's who's going to be number three over number four.
We got a bracket going.
Well, yeah, we kind of do.
Is there an upset?
We'll get to that in just a second. But you asked the question because you have Jared Bednar as number one.
I do,
and I had Michael Malone as number one. And there's reasonable arguments to be made on both sides. But one of your feathers in the cap of your argument is something that Michael Malone doesn't have, is that Jared Bednar had the worst team in pro hockey.
Mm.
The worst. They won 22 games. They had 48 total points. It's just remarkable and staggering how bad they were. And then
shoo-in also that he started late, pretty much. He started what? What, 2 weeks, was it? 2 weeks?
Yeah, it was like, because Patrick Waugh was in the fold, and right before training camp, it was just a couple weeks out before training camp, he's like, I'm out.
Mm.
And Bednar took over, and it was a disaster at first, and then they became competent. Like, their jump from year one to year two was actually pretty legitimate, because it was, they went from a 48-point team in year one with Bednar to a 95-point team. All right, so they were significantly, like they won 21 more games outright year over year. And so, look, this is what makes this conversation fun. It's that there's that reasonable minds can disagree. But the question you asked, you said, is there another example in Colorado sports where a guy went from the worst and turned it into first?
Yeah.
And I said, there's a name that comes to mind for me. But he hasn't done it yet. And it's Deion Sanders.
Who
inherited the worst college football program in the entire country. And if within 2 years he gets them to a bowl game or even more, say they win 8 games and he inherits a 1-win team, turns them into a 4-win team, and then takes that 4-win team and turns them into an 8-win team, and you believe they could win 9-10, if that happens, Deion Sanders, he's already a legend nationwide. That legend will balloon.
I don't even want to know what it's going to be like.
Well, there'll be another book. There'll be another book.
You'll get it right, I promise
you. You can believe that. There'll be more slogans that are trademarked. Who knows what else?
Wow. The stadium's going to be rebuilt.
Yeah. He's got a shot to put himself in just the rarefied air because just of how bad that CU program had fallen since the time you were there when you went from competing to a Pac-12 championship game to what we saw the year before Deion showed up.
If he does that, Zach, he ain't going nowhere. He's not going anywhere. And we, you know, we've been talking about that too. Like, you know, is he going to stay after this year? Is he going to leave? How can you leave after having success like that if that's the case? Right? You win 8, 9, 10 games. You're loved here forever.
But what better way to have a mic drop like John Elway? Hoisting that Lombardi trophy. Take care. Hey, remember me this way. That was the title to my prom back in 2005. You know, they gave it like a title, like a theme. And it was remember me this way. And it could be like, hey, mic drop. Peyton, 2015, mic drop.
It's like, you probably, my kids are watching Coco now.
Coco Melon?
No, not Coco. It's just called Coco. It's a show.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And there's a song in there. It's called Remember Me.
Okay.
So it made me laugh a little
and
bit.
And it's not Coco Melon?
No, it's not Coco Melon.
Okay.
It's Coco.
Yeah, okay. It's a movie Coco. Yeah, he's right. It's a movie Coco. Yeah. It's a Remember Me song. It's really good. Really good soundtrack, by the way.
Remember me.
Oh, keep going. Keep going.
You know what my kids are listening to like every single day is the Sing and Sing 2 soundtrack, where the actors and actresses are singing the songs of the actual hits. So you might have like Scarlett Johansson singing a Taylor Swift song.
Yeah, yeah.
But these people are talented. I mean, they have good voices and stuff. So it's like, you know, U2 is being sung by like Johnny, the gorilla.
My son and I do it too. And then I have to be the bad guy.
Yes.
And then when it comes to the part, it's like, this one's for you.
That's right. That's
I have to do it like 5 times where he blocks the stick from hitting him.
Yes.
Yeah, we do that
now. Sky Full of Stars. We listen to that song every single day, my 5-year-old and my 2-year-old. Here's where it gets tricky with this hierarchy of the coaches. Who's 3 and who's 4? Mm. So reasonable minds can disagree on who's number 1 and number 2. And I put it out there and just, you know, a couple of the responses. Someone says Malone and it's not close. Adrian said Bud Black has literally nothing to work with. Peyton took an underwhelming roster to the playoffs. Bednar has a team that's loaded, but they choked last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Someone else said Malone's number 1 because the Nuggets are on the verge of building a dynasty, and he brought the first championship. So
you can't argue with it. You know, I guess it's great problems to have because the Avalanche are doing great. Nuggets are doing great. So it's something to have. That's why we're having this discussion.
Yeah.
You know?
Who'd be 3 and 4?
Man, great minds can agree and disagree, but I don't know if you have a great mind.
Okay.
I know for me, it's probably going to have to be Sean Payton.
Yeah? Why?
Yeah. I just think right now, Sean Payton, in 1 year, as much as we give him crap, right, and as much as he talks his way into trouble, he still took a team. One, beat the Chiefs. That has not been done here in a very long time.
Very true.
Okay? He kept all his players together and coaching staff together when it was bad. I mean, we give up 70 points.
I know.
And he didn't get rid of anybody. He should have probably got rid of Jerry Jeudy, you know, when he had the chance to get more draft capital, but he didn't. Shout out to Jerry Jeudy now, because my man has pockets full of gold.
Unbelievable.
I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know you could can have mediocre years and get paid mega millions, but hey, it's done.
Yeah, we got to talk about that here.
And then for Sean also, he was one game away from being in the playoffs. All right, his first year with a quarterback that he didn't want, with a team that it was not really his. He inherited it, but it's not really his team yet. So that's why I have to give Sean the number 3 seat and the 3 spot. But yeah, for the Rockies, Buddy's not to blame for what's going on over there, and it does suck for him because, you know, he's not a bad manager, but they're just not winning enough.
Yeah,
and I don't think it's on him.
Yeah, with Bud, it's like, and I'll steal the analogy from James Merrillat. I'll give him the credit that he would not give me. I'm positive of it. Is that like, you know, the show Chopped?
Yeah.
When you open it up and you see your ingredients.
Yep.
Like Buddy opens his and it's like snail meat and liver and like, hey, make us a great meal. It's like, dude, like, you can't give me these as ingredients and expect me to be, you know, a playoff manager. But I'm still putting Buddy Black over Sean Payton.
Okay.
I'm putting, and this is another one where I think reasonable minds can disagree, but yeah, Sean Payton did improve the Broncos. He really did. Going from 5 wins to 8 wins year over year, that's commendable. And I did notice there was a change in Denver in that the team was more physical.
Yeah, they were.
And I feel like they took on Sean's identity to a certain degree. So Sean deserves credit. And this is an imperfect like ranking and kind of on the fly conversation. But at the end of the day, the Broncos finished with a losing record. The Broncos missed the playoffs. And while Bud has been the manager of a few losing teams, I have seen Bud go to the playoffs. I have seen Bud go to the playoffs more than once. And Sean will get that opportunity. And I believe in time, Sean is going to overtake Bud Black.
Yeah.
But for right now, you don't get brownie points what you did somewhere else. You've been here. You got yourself in some trouble off the field with your mouth.
Yeah.
You got yourself in trouble on the field with your decision making against the Raiders, against the Patriots that could have sent you to the playoffs. So, long way of saying I have Bud number 3. So my final list is Michael Malone number 1.
Oh no.
Jared
that.
Bednar number 2, Bud Black, 2-time playoff appearing manager, and Sean Payton, a 0-time playoff coaching coach here in Denver. That's where I'm at.
What's going
that's
on?
That's where I'm at. All right, if you want to react to that, you can hit us up, ramoslaw.com, text line 303-713-1043, or hit me up on Twitter and respond to that question. Okay, we have a big-time game on the hardwood tonight, and it's got nothing to do with March Madness. What does tonight mean for the reigning NBA champions? That's coming up next.
So take a look what you've done, because baby, now we got bad blood. Hey, now we got problems.
We have a big-time game on the hardwood tonight, and it's got nothing to do with March Madness. By the way, we had Tad Boyle, the all-time wins leader in the history of the Colorado Buffaloes, on the air a little bit earlier today.
Yeah, we did.
If you missed it, I thought Tad was fantastic. I mean, he was like present. And you know, I'm never sure how this is going to go with coaches who are having a big game in front of him, and he's traveling, and he's got obligations, and he was totally present and thoughtful, and he killed it. And if you missed it, we'll air some of it for you at about 5:30.
Good man.
You want to hear the whole thing, you can hit up the Drive podcast, hour number 2 right at the top. And he is a good man. He's a huge fan of yours.
Yeah, man. We have a lot of respect for each other. He's been able to be one of the guys that has come to me over my years, been my biggest critic, but also one of my biggest supporters. And I can always talk to him about anything and everything. And that man has done a lot for that program, and he's going to continue to, because they're going to win tomorrow.
I can't wait for that game tomorrow. Can't wait for the CSU game tonight against Virginia. I mean, I can't wait. It's a busy night in Colorado sports. And you kind of have to prioritize whatever's most important to you, because all these games, and there's 3 of them in particular that I'm thinking of, are happening at the same time. But because you have the Avalanche, who are trying to, and they all mean something in their own right. The Avalanche are trying to win their 7th consecutive game. They have not done that this year at all. They have a 6-game win streak. They also have an opportunity to win their 4th in a row on the road in a 4-game road trip. Sweeping a road trip, that's hard. So that's at 6 o'clock in St. Louis, and there's some rivalry history there.
So it's 5 o'clock here, right?
No, I believe it'll be 6 o'clock.
6 here?
Yeah, our time. Yep. Okay. And then you have the Colorado State game in the NCAA tournament against Virginia. That is at, what is it, about 7:30, 7:10?
I think it's 7:10, yeah.
Okay, there you...
Which, by the way, you can listen to right here on The Fan.
Perfect.
Easy.
What a plug. And then, you have a game in the regular season in the NBA for the Denver Nuggets that it means something tonight. This is not some footnote game. This is kind of like the Blues with the Avs. This is a rivalry with the Minnesota Timberwolves. The 2 teams are deadlocked, both 47 wins, 21 losses. They are tied for the 2 seed. They're a half game back of the 1 seed. It's a rematch of last year's first round, where although the Denver Nuggets won in 5 games, 4 of the 5 games were decided by single digits. And Man, a lot is on the line tonight from a seeding standpoint.
Yeah, it really is, and especially let's talk about the Nuggets, because I know there's a lot going on, okay? But the Denver Nuggets have an opportunity to put themselves in a great situation, and coming off the loss like they did, I think they're going to be motivated to do that, motivated to show up and show out. It does suck, though, that the Timberwolves are missing one of their key players tonight that hasn't been able to play because of his knee.
Yeah, Karl Anthony Towns. Yep. He's a big part of what they do.
You know, and then you said that Anthony Edwards.
He's questionable. Naz Reid, one of their best defenders, is questionable. Rudy Gobert.
So should we kind of be nervous about this? They're questionable. We've been in situations where a star player or a really, really good player is questionable, and we have not played up to our expectations because that player didn't end up playing on the other side.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair question here headed into tonight, Phil. And I know people can disagree on this. I heard Dover earlier today saying, I want them as weak as possible. He's kind of like not taking a shot at me. He's like, I'm not one of these guys who wants everyone to play.
Dang, Josh. You kick them while they're down, huh?
But, you know, I've always subscribed to the Greg Popovich rule of you want their guys playing.
Yeah.
Because it's not about an easy win or not. You want the best version of yourself to be there, and that's a fully focused self that is ready for a fist fight. And if you're confident in the Nuggets the way that I think we are, doesn't matter who plays on their side.
No.
And so we're still waiting the status of those players. I think they all play because it's a big game for Minnesota, man. It's just a big game.
Even Anthony Edwards with that finger, that seemed like it would hurt.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's moving, you know, that ball's flicking and moving. Yep. And, oof.
Yeah. What'd you make of that dunk last night?
Oh, that dunk.
That was nuts.
Or was it a dunk?
No, that was a dunk.
Okay.
I know some people say that's not a dunk. I heard Drew say that. He's out of his mind. That's a dunk. If you want to look at it like a flush, that's fine. But that was...
So if I go in and dunk on you, but I don't touch the rim, and I get it up just enough
like
to throw it
in? Like if I'm playing 2K? What do you mean?
No, when we go to the rink down the street.
And they lower and the dunk, hoop all the way, and I'm like not paying attention. I'm having lunch, and you come over to me.
Look, you're going to be embarrassed and try to blame that you were wearing your Converses that day.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, is that considered a dunk then?
That's a dunk, dude. That's a dunk. And it's one of the best in-game dunks that I've ever seen. Uh-huh. I mean, that was
insane.
That was just like, you know, Anthony Edwards is he's a star.
But then what about the other young man, that dunked on Reeves.
Oh, my God. I saw that.
Like, what are we doing here?
Jalen Johnson dunking on Austin Reeves. That was a dunk. That was also a charge, but, you know, it's beside the point.
So, look, you got problems with it all, bro.
That's what I'm saying. Just manipulate the rules.
Since you want to be, pesky about it, who would you have rather been? Like, legitimate question. Would you rather be Anthony Edwards in that moment, or would you rather be Jalen Johnson in that moment?
Ooh, that's a good question. I know who I would not want to be is Austin Reeves, considering what happened and what he had in his face. But, man.
Drew, be honest with us.
It's probably Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
But, okay, if you're defending one of them.
Yeah.
Okay, Drew has already said he doesn't want to be the guy who had, you know, one on his head.
Yeah.
You know, probably give him a ball spot.
But John Collins got concussed.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he took a knee to the head.
In the moment, too.
My man got dunked on and concussed.
Yeah.
You don't want to go back to the boys talking about I just got dunked on and concussed.
Yeah, I had to leave the game. You don't even get to respond. Hey, look, they're both great dunks. They're both seriously awesome in-game dunks. But that Anthony Edwards, the sideline shot of it, from the person recording it with their phone in the crowd, it's remarkable. Image is just remarkable. It's all-time stuff.
I'm just thinking about what I'm going to do when I dunk on you, Zach. I think I'm going to do it the Reeves way. So then when you come in, they're going to think that you have, your head just had, the radio headphones on.
Phil,
No, that was Phil.
Phil, if you tried to take...
No, that was Phil.
If you tried to take the ball to the lane, I would pop the ball. It would get punched so hard. You have no advantage here.
Oh, man.
You know what we say?
You've been picking all the little kids at the rec.
I know, and you're next in line. You look like one of them. You know what I say to you when you're on my back? I catch the ball. Mouse in the house.
Uh-oh.
Mouse in the house.
Wait, how low would you have to get the rim for you to dunk it, Phil?
Were you able to dunk for real?
I was. No, I wasn't able to do no crazy 360s, I was able to get it in.
That's impressive. You're not a tall guy. To get up there, you got to be... I mean, dude, people talk about dunk. That hoop is... 10 feet high,
yeah,
and the basketball is 8-10 inches. Like, if you measured the ball, you need to get the ball all the way over the rim and put it in.
It's,
like,
it's hard. I can, and that's the thing. I could probably dunk maybe once, but if I had to do it like continuously, like, no, that's not happening, man. But if I'm running on a fast break, you know, got my juices flowing, I could probably throw one down. Not now, but when I was in college.
All right. Then you pause the video game. Like, mom, I'm coming up for food.
I gotta talk to Cecil because I heard Cecil could still dunk.
Holy smokes, that's another conversation. That's another conversation. Nuggets get this win tonight?
Oh, yes. Nuggets are going to get this win tonight.
I think so, too.
You know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough win, but I think that Jokic is going to play good. I think Jokic is going to play good, Jamal. And MPJ is going to continue to rack up his points. 18, 20 points tonight for MPJ.
That would be a reflection of most games this last month. I mean, he has really rounded into form. You know, Christian Brown playing well as of late. Peyton Watson, for the most part, playing well. You know, I just look for tonight the competitive spirit of Denver to be there.
Yeah.
And what happened on Sunday in Dallas on ABC, You won't see that again, I don't think, for at least while the games are still hanging in the balance here, getting out rebounded by 23 boards, allowing 22 offensive rebounds. And in some ways, I like that that game just happened before this game, because every time, almost every time, with the Nuggets, when a certain type of stock is down, it just has a tendency to rally. Yeah. And I think you'll see a big time correction in the competitive spirit department tonight.
47-21. That's both the team's records. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you think about, like, these two teams played each other in the last game of 2017 with the winner going to the playoffs. Then they've met in the playoffs as recent as a year ago. And the guy who built that team is Tim Connelly. And that's who built the Denver Nuggets. He built the Nuggets and then is now in Minnesota trying to structure and architect a team that can beat the team he created.
He has the blueprint.
He does. He does a little bit.
He really does. The Timberwolves are no joke.
They are no joke. All right, we'll see what shakes out a little bit later. Then we'll be back talking about it tomorrow, regardless of how it ends up shaking out.